snack and confection segment fared better than other segments in 2009 due to continued aggressive price increases. Operators were spared the manufacturer price increases that characterized much of the prior 3 years. Hence, in 2009, vending operators were able to recover some of the profit margin that this category lost in the prior 3 years. We have with us today a vending sales data specialist, Matt Groff of Management Science Associates, a vending operator, Dick Hansen, Executive Vice President of Buffalo Rock in Birmingham, Alabama, a snack manufacturer, Malcolm McAlpine, Senior Business Manager of Baked and Branded Snacks, Food Service and Vending at Kraft Vending and OCS, and a pastry manufacturer, Rusty Jackson, Vice President of Specialty Markets at Clover Hill Bakery. Matt, I'm going to begin with you. Your company, Management Science Associates, has studied the different customer location types. What trends are you seeing across the different types, such as education, offices, industrial, and public?
Thanks, Elliot. We're seeing many continuations from the past few years, as well as a few new trends in the data. One that I'll point out is that relative to what you mentioned in terms of VOs taking price increases, we tend to see those price increases in the education, warehouse, and public trade classes more so than in office at this point. And coincidentally, we do see a resiliency in that office trade class in terms of the productivity of machines. So we're seeing that continued strength in office. Now, in terms of where new machines are being placed, we're seeing certainly warehouses is lagging behind there, as well as all types of industrial locations. Public locations are also holding pretty even, with the one exception of medical locations, where we've seen an uptick in terms of productivity of their machines.
Okay, thanks. Dick Hansen, as a vending operator, do you concur that growth in the candy snack confection segment is largely being driven by price increases?
Elliot, I would say at this point, yes, it definitely helped it. However, just the state of the industry last year, we were down significantly in units, and it just really never made up for the difference in really the loss of units. However, the candy segment is really performing better than the entire, candy snack confection segment considerably. We have taken significant losses, unfortunately, in the pastry side of the business that's driving a lot of that at this point.
Okay. And the growth in candy is largely being driven by price increases.
It is price increases, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, I'd like to ask you about health and wellness. It's a big consumer issue we read about. Vending operators generally agree there are more products with health association available and the quality is better. But the numbers aren't showing any dramatic growth. Do you think vending consumers are buying more products with health association?
We definitely do not see that at this point. It's stayed about steady for the last 3 to 4 years now. We don't see any increases in healthy. We get a lot of requests for healthy items, but ultimately, at the end of the day, that's not what's selling, and that's not what drives that productivity in that piece of equipment.
Okay.
You have to be very sensitive to the number of items you're putting in there and lose that productivity.
Okay. Malcolm McAlpine from Kraft Vending and OCS, what are the key consumer drivers that you're seeing at this time?
Thank you, Elliot. The good news for snacks, confections, etc., is the fact that they are growing at a low sort of 7-8% growth rate year over year and have been for the past 5 years. And I think that's a function of busier lifestyles. You know, the days when people had 3 square meals a day are gone. People are eating on average 7-8 times a day. So they're snacking more. So we're seeing a growth in general snacking. I think that one of the challenges is how does the vending operator take advantage of that growth? And I think that is the challenge, because as we see, you know, the vending industry is fairly flat, yet snacking is up.
So the vending industry is not getting its fair share of that trend, correct?
I do not believe that they're getting their fair share of that trend, no. And neither is C-Store, which is, you know, the one of the major competitors to vending either.
Okay. Is there anything that you think that the industry can do to improve the situation?
I honestly believe that the vending operator probably needs to focus more on category management. It's proven itself out in grocery. It's proven itself out in non-commercial manual feeding in cafeterias. You know, that's essentially right product, right place, right time. Everyone knows what category management is. I think that is how the vend operator can really take advantage of that growth in snack trends, is by making sure they have that right assortment of products for their consumer and understanding their consumer.
And what tools do they need to do that, Malcolm?
I mean, there's a wealth of data out there from both, you know, Nielsen, IRI, various companies like that, you know, plus obviously industry companies like Matt that we have on the call here. It's really analyzing what is moving, what are people buying. And I always use Nielsen and retail data, as well as, you know, the limited data that we have for our industry. And that's because it's the same consumer that's consuming it from a grocery store that's buying it from a vending machine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really what is selling, what products are selling. I have to make sure I have those in my machine. You know, you can't have 45 slots of Snickers bars or 45 slots of Oreo. You have to have the right assortment for your clientele, your location. Again, right products, right place, and right time.
Okay. Rusty Jackson from Clover Hill Bakery, what do you see as the key consumer trends in the Venn pastry segment?
We're watching, and I appreciate the inclusion in this panel. We're watching this thing happen as the schools and states and municipalities across the country are paying more and more attention to what's going into the vending machine as far as fat content, sugar content, and nutritional focus as it goes to the menus aimed at children. So we're seeing that and watching it with a little bit of a concern, because that seems to be a trend across the country that they want to get away from fatty foods and things like that. Not that it's not necessary, but as an indulgent food like we are, we do watch that trend.
Okay. And do you have any plans for product introductions that might address the trend?
For probably about 5 years now, we've been aggressively doing some R&D on some new items that can be healthy, not so much healthy, but healthier for you than the traditional items in our category. We look for whole wheat items and things like that. The driving bottom line for us is, no matter what you put out there, it has to taste good.
Uh-huh.
If the consumer walks up and they see a nice label on it and they say this is and the label says in screaming words that this is better for you, if it doesn't taste good while it's better for them, they will not come back to that machine to buy that item again. And then we have those low turns and things like that operators don't like.
Okay. Oh, coming back to Dick Hansen from Buffalo Rock, you serve a region, the Southeast, which has seen a lot of influx of Hispanic consumers. Has this affected your product selection?
It has not. We have tried some Hispanic items and without success to this point. So we haven't seen that. We do know and realize there's a heavy Hispanic influence here, but we just have not seen that needle move.
Uh-huh. And do you know why that might be?
I don't know at this point in time that we have the right number of products or the right products from suppliers. I don't hear as much from suppliers about Hispanic items at this point. It may be similar to the situation we ran into from the education standpoint. It took a little time to catch up, and we may be there at this point.
Uh-huh. Is it possibly a cultural issue where people of the Hispanic background may not be as in the habit of using vending machines?
I have actually had some dealings with some gentlemen out of Mexico, and they spent some time with us here. Obviously, the culture and vending down in Mexico is a little different. I really don't know if I can answer that, Elliot. I do know I've had just a little bit of interaction, and it is uniquely different than what we see in the States.
Huh. It's not as much a lifestyle among Hispanics as Americans to buy from vending machines.
Correct.
Okay. Malcolm McAlpine of Craft Vending and OCS, do you see changing demographics as having an impact on vending?
I don't see changing demographics have as big an impact as economic conditions. And that, you know, Matt alluded to it earlier, you know, certain segments are down. I mean, I think the vending is more affected by economic conditions than it is by demographics. For our example, you know, business and industry is down, healthcare is flat, you know, the same things that Matt was talking about.
Uh-huh.
So I firmly believe that it's economic conditions rather than changing demographics that are affecting the vending industry.
Okay. Switching a little bit now to the whole issue of marketing message. Rusty Jackson of Clover Hill Bakery, as the workforce has changed, become more white-collar, less blue-collar, has your company changed its marketing in any way?
Not specifically, no. We still believe and have for a number of years that traditional vending is done out of a black box that when it's empty has zero personality. And we think that the products and things that are in there are what are the voice that we use to speak to the consumers. And so the way we market to the masses that are out there, we have to do in such a way that it cuts across the blue collar, white collar, pink collar, different areas of the industries.
And do you see the consumer as more interested in more nutrition information at the point of sale?
I think that the laws are pushing them that way. I don't think the consumer, for the most part, pays much attention to it. I think they're going to go buy something from the machine regardless of what they want. I think that with the new laws that are coming around in 2011, what's going to happen is there will be more and more decisions made based on reading the front of the packages that are available to them, and then as they get educated, they'll be more interested in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dick Hansen, let me pose the same question to you. Do you think consumers want more point-of-sale information about products?
I do think they want some. I think what we see now is the fact that they're not consuming as much at each sitting. I think that's what we're seeing more so than anything else. For example, they may buy a bag of chips and maybe eat half of it at that point rather than sitting and consuming it all at one time. I think the amounts people are consuming now are different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they've looked at the content as much, nutritional content, as I think they've just disciplined themselves a little more as to what amounts they're eating at this point.
Okay. Have you done anything, Dick, to prepare for the rule that calorie information will have to be made available at the machine?
Well, being an active member, you know, of NAMA and going to all the functions, I think we're still a little bit in a listening mode to see exactly where the government will roll this out. So from our standpoint, we're almost at a wait and see. We do some things internally with nutritional information, mainly for the schools, but as far as posting at the equipment level, we don't at this time.
Okay. And I think the last question I have for you, Dick, is are you optimistic or pessimistic about the vending industry's future?
Obviously, I'm optimistic. I love the vending industry. Been in it a long time. I hope we have finally hit the bottom, so to speak, as Malcolm and Rusty both alluded to earlier, about the economy and where we are. that's really my hopes are at this point in time. We've really hit the bottom, and we will see an uptick going forward. So I'm truly optimistic. There obviously have to be some changes. I think technology will have to change in the industry itself, and it is. I'm concerned about the nutritional guide rails that we have that are coming down the pike. So I still think it has a wonderful future.
Okay. Malcolm McAlpine of Craft Vending and OCS, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the vending industry's future?
I am very optimistic, and it's for the same reasons that Dick mentioned. You know, I think the economy has bottomed out. I think that a lot of the vend operators have broken through that dollar barrier that was a barrier for a long time. I think if they embrace things like category management and have the right products at the right place for their consumers, I'm very, very optimistic that, you know, this will be an industry that will stop declining and will start to get its fair share of that snacking growth that I talked about earlier.
Okay. Rusty Jackson of Clover Hill Bakery, optimistic or pessimistic?
I'm optimistic for two reasons that I can give you. The first one is the operators in the 20 years I've been calling on them are traditionally pessimistic as far as how good the business is. And in the 90s, they're all, you know, basically lying to us about how bad it was when it was things were really pretty good. Well, in the last 5 or 7 years, it's been really bad for them. And in the last probably year, I've noticed as I've traveled around the country, more and more optimistic remarks from operators. More and more of the ones that used to say the sky was falling say they see light at the end of the tunnel. And that's encouraging. And the other one is I'm seeing a trend in our industry to focus more on the sale of the product out of the machine instead of the buy going into the machine. And the focus is becoming more and more on the marketing of the products, trying to reach out to the consumer and get more things done. So just using those two things, put them together, I'm real optimistic about the future.
Okay, great. And Matt, you're our data man here. Do you have any other thoughts you'd want to share at this point?
Sure. And based on what we're seeing in the data, there's a good bit of evidence that things have bottomed out overall, net-net. In 2009, transitioning to 2010, we're seeing in some of the trade classes that had been declining, such as industrial, we are seeing signs of it holding steady at this point. So I think as long as the economy continues to be stable and unemployment doesn't get any worse, I think there's certainly reason for optimism. People, especially in the workplace, are always going to love the convenience as well as the inexpensiveness of those impulsive buys that are afforded by a vend machine. So as long as things stay on track with the economy, as well as VOs becoming more and more tuned in to their customer needs, as Malcolm had mentioned, I think that I think there's reason that this time next year we'll be seeing a 2010 assessment that points to a turnaround.
Okay, great. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for your participation, and we look forward to speaking again in the future.